Since 2015, Pop Health Podcast has brought to you some of the best minds in healthcare, including leaders from government, not-for-profit, and investor-backed powerhouses, as they share successes, failures, and how our audience can move forward in today's constantly evolving healthcare world. Thank you for joining us for today's episode presented by 24 Hour Home Care.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Pop Health Podcast. I'm Gavin Ward, host of Pop Health Podcast. In today's episode, I had a special treat. I had both Michael Wiesar from the Department of Healthcare Services and Dora Barilla from HC2 Strategies, two leaders for organizations that are really driving Medi-Cal transformation and the CalAIM initiative here in California. In today's episode, we hear from Michael, who gives a DHCS leadership lens on the 2023 highlights of CalAIM and what we can see here in 2024. And then Dora gives a perspective from the ground, where HC2 Strategies is in over 20 counties, ultimately hired by the state, if you will, to really drive and implement the CalAIM initiative. It's a great conversation. We hope you enjoy it. Feel free to check out other episodes of Pop Health Podcast by visiting us at pophealthpodcast.com, checking us out on our YouTube channel, or visiting us wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy today's episode. Dora and Michael, thanks so much for joining the show today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's been a while since I've had a three-person podcast, so really looking forward to it. I always think three makes it more fun, more energetic. So really appreciate both of you joining the show today. Before we get into the content, which is going to be a look back at 2023 with CalAIM and what's in store for 2024, I want to get to know you guys a little bit better and let our guests hear some fun facts about you. So starting with Dora. Dora, you've been on the show before, so we know a little bit about you being an athlete. But do you have a fun fact today for us? Something surprising, hobby, something like that?
Thank you, Gavin. I think used to be it's an operative word there. But as I've gotten older, I still enjoy really exercising. But I think I enjoy a leisurely hike far more out in the mountains, out in nature, and spending time with my two grown daughters. You know, that brings me the most joy in life.
That's great. That's great. And do you do now? I know you reside like in the Inland Empire, so Mount Baldy, Big Bear. Like, where do you like to? Good place to hike, I guess.
You know, I live in Rancho Cucamonga, so the hills behind my house are lots of hills that I do a lot of hiking. And then in the Sequoia National Forest is where my family's had a lot of land for a long time. So in one of our counties, Tulare County, I do a lot of hiking.
That's great. And Tulare County might come up a little later, too. All right. And Michael, how about you? A fun fact for you.
Sure. So I would say I'm a lifelong Sacramentan, born and raised. And when I'm not working on all things Medi-Cal, I'm usually cooking something up new in my kitchen and sharing the spoils with my five-year-old Havanese, Albus. First of all, Warwick Dumbledore. He's my pride and joy. So I love all things spicy. So whatever comes to mind, I probably made it or attempted to make it.
Spicy, man. I love it. I just told my wife, she's going to Trader Joe's and she's getting two ghost pepper items for me. So based on your comment, I'm guessing you've cooked or have done some things with ghost pepper. Is that true or am I guessing incorrectly?
You know, I have, and that's been a variation of a successful experience. Most notably, I think the last time I did, I was making a Middle Eastern dish. And I don't know why I decided to do that, but ended up going into my pantry. And I remember eating probably the whole package of naan. So whatever I put to kind of temper the heat, but it was really, it was good. Otherwise, I just remember being really surprised that I wasn't sort of expecting all that, but it was fun nonetheless. And I remember my dog, Albus, also looking at me, you know, saying, "What the heck did you just do?"
Nice, man. Well, good to meet another spicy fan. I love talking about spicy food and recipes. We can do a whole episode on that. So we're going to get into the core content, but maybe let's do a little background on Dora and what HC2 is. So Dora, would you mind just sharing very briefly how HC2 is involved with CalAIM?
Certainly. HC2, it stands for Healthy Connected Communities. So we're a facilitator with CalAIM. So we're one of the 10 facilitators across the state helping to really create a space for collaboration on implementation. We can talk a little bit more about that, but we are one of the facilitators. I spent over 35 years in healthcare, managed care, in health plans and in hospitals, and just really thrilled to see the opportunity to really take social and clinical care and combine them and find ways to create new care models with community-based organizations and other providers in the community.
That's great. Thanks for the background. And for folks that may not know Michael, Michael, your role at DHCS, can you share with us briefly about your role and how did you end up in the role?
Sure. So I am a branch chief in the Managed Care Program Oversight branch of Managed Care Quality Monitoring Division at DHCS. And I started at the department about a little over 10 years ago. And I came to our department, firstly, in our Office of Communications, formerly the Office of Public Affairs, as I had previously worked for an elected here in Sacramento doing similar messaging and outreach work. And I wanted to work for DHCS as our purpose and core values really resonated with me. And another maybe fun fact, but I think relevant to that to this point, is I spent the first almost 18 years of my life on Medi-Cal as a Medi-Cal beneficiary. So know firsthand how important these safety net programs can be for people in our communities.
And that's great that you have that firsthand connection. I love speaking with folks who have been there themselves as a member. You mind me asking, was it straight Medi-Cal, or do you recall which health plan you were part of?
You know, at that time, I went to the Sacramento Native American Health Clinic, which is an FQHC. I grew up in the central city in Midtown, as we call it in Sacramento. And that was the closest FQ that provided not only medical services, but also dental services. I was at the dentist a lot, and they were as a kid, and that's where I remember getting all of my needed services and care.
That's great. Thanks so much for sharing. All right, so let's jump into the core content, and we're going to go back to Michael. Our show has talked a lot about CalAIM over the last couple of years, but every episode we have a lot of new listeners or folks who may have listened in the past and may need a refresher. Would you mind giving a 30, 60 second overview of the CalAIM initiative?
Sure. So we at the department are transforming Medi-Cal to ensure that Californians can get the care that they need to live the healthier lives that they're endeavoring on. And this has really been done through a series of initiatives and reforms known as the California Advancing Innovating Medi-Cal, or CalAIM initiative. We're transforming Medi-Cal to create a more coordinated and person-centered health system that works for all of Californians. And the CalAIM term specifically refers to the initiatives and broad reforms within our various programs and systems that are part of the overall effort to strengthen Medi-Cal through our five-year CalAIM waiver. But specifically, some of your listeners might have heard of the Medi-Cal transformation terminology, which is a little bit different than CalAIM. And this really refers to our overall efforts to improve and strengthen and transform Medi-Cal with new initiatives and services, including those that are part of CalAIM, as well as through adjacent efforts, such as the 2024 Medi-Cal Managed Care Plan contract that applies to all of the managed care plans statewide. I think what's probably most exciting about the Medi-Cal transformation is it means that our members have access to new and improved services, where they are currently, and really provides that more well-rounded and whole person care that applies to those that are going to doctor's offices or hospitals, and it really works to address all of their physical and mental health needs. I would also say that as part of the transformation, we're really committed to that data-driven improvement and transparency and accountability to help members, Medi-Cal members, our trusted providers, our managed care plans partners, our advocates, and our policy teams understand the progress of these really, really important great initiatives and their impact on improving quality and reducing health disparities overall. And over time, I would say that Medi-Cal has really helped transform and helped address the health-related social needs for our members, including those that are provided through housing supports and medically tailored meals, and providing those with those long-term needs that are more integrated and coordinated. And again, no matter where that the members are seeking care, if it's at those doctor's offices, like I said, or the dentist, or with a social worker or the community health center, they'll be connected to that quality care that they really need.
That's great. And you touched on some of the popular community supports or ones that are used or focused on quite a bit, which are the housing supports, medically tailored meals. I often think of CalAIM as community supports where there's 14 and then enhanced care management. But CalAIM, as you touched on, is more than just that. What are some of the things outside of community supports and ECM that CalAIM encompasses?
Let me answer that with a little bit of background too. And I would say just that the main strategy that we've employed under the CalAIM initiative broadly is to move more of our fragmented system to a more person-centered system. Sustainably is through managed care. And managed care is really where a member is enrolled in a local health plan, and that health plan maintains a network of their contracted providers, including those primary care doctors, specialists, and other providers that the member may be seeing if eligible for those services. But in addition to ECM and community supports, we've also standardized benefits so that they're covered by managed care plans regardless of the plan model type. So, for example, this could include those institutionalized long-term care benefits comprised of the skilled nursing care, subacute care services, and intermediate care facilities, for the developmentally disabled. And under CalAIM, it's also comprised of other things outside of services, more such as the incentive payment program or the Providing Access and Transforming Health Initiative or PATH program, as well as the No Wrong Door initiative, and as well as the screening and transition tools. So it's really important to remember that CalAIM has inherently required everyone involved to metaphorically sort of build the bridge as we're crossing it, I would say. And it's involved many, many new partnerships and a variety of new data sharing needs and uncertain referral volumes and cash flow constraints introduced by retrospective payments. And this is all occurring at the same time, mind you. So to get this far, we've really, it's been an enormous lift across the entire system. And all of this, took place, I would say, in a once in a century pandemic, which is really important to recognize, right? But with that being said, I think it's important to underscore that and emphasize that we keep our eye on the prize, our eyes on the mountaintop in the distance, if you will, which is to say that it's an unprecedented time and an opportunity to make Medi-Cal and other safety net programs work better for Californians who depend on them, really. And it's a chance to enhance the continuum of care and make more equitable and easier to access care. And beyond that, it enables a transformation overall of the healthcare delivery that to meet the needs of our members and serve them in a whole person, holistic way. For example, so you could think of someone who has a stroke who needs their immediate health crisis addressed, for example, and may also need some supplemental paid assistance at home to supplementally recover or recuperate. So much of Californians' ultimate well-being is it just hinges on factors outside of the health system and outside of these programs of ECM and community supports, for example, and many of the programs under CalAIM are designed to help address those social needs. And probably should add or emphasize that particularly for those individuals and those members with the most complex physical and behavioral health conditions.
Yeah, well said. A lot going on with CalAIM, and that's just touching the surface. Thank you, Michael. And Dora, we'll definitely want to ask similar questions to you here in a little bit, but I want to stay with Michael, and he gave that great overview of CalAIM. One thing you said was building a bridge as we cross it, and that is great. I haven't heard that one before, but I have heard, build the plane as we fly it. So in a lot of the CalAIM meetings I've been, it's the build the plane as we fly it, but I love the build the bridge as we cross it. Out of curiosity, did you take that from someone else or did you create that one yourself?
That is one we frequently like to use in the department. We, also you'll hear ones like, kick the tires, light the fires. It's just over the last 10 years, we've employed these sort of these easier sayings to kind of get the message across. So. No, it's not one that I shouldn't say it's one specific person, but it's one that I've borrowed from many of the conversations we've had here at the department.
Sounds good. So one other question, and then I want to jump over to Dora. So you've given the overview of CalAIM. Actually, I'm going to take a step backwards. You said once in a century, pandemic or once in a 100-year pandemic that we experienced. I've also heard the phrase once in a generation opportunity with CalAIM, with the governor, you know, signing off and devoting a ton of resources to making this work. So I just wanted to call that out as well, that this opportunity, you touched on it, is a huge opportunity that many of us have never really experienced before. Speaking of that opportunity, we're now in year three of CalAIM, but let's look back, maybe in a nutshell, Michael, what were some of the highlights that you'd say you saw in 2023 from the initiative? And then I'd ask Dora as well.
Oh, yes, definitely. So with our accomplishments, I think it's really been a multi-partnership effort across not only, some of our key partners and colleagues at the department, but also our health systems, our provider groups, our managed care plans, our community-based partners, and county health departments have really had to come together to ensure really a smooth transition for tens of thousands of Medi-Cal members. Who've been supported by CalAIM's program, the programs under CalAIM, but also some that were some of the precursor efforts. So you might be familiar with, or some of your listeners might be familiar with, Whole Person Care as the pilot program, Whole Person Care, as well as Health Homes. But it's some of the additional achievements that we're really excited about, where we expanded our enhanced care management benefit for key populations of focus statewide. We expanded managed care plan offerings of the 14 managed care plan non-traditional offerings and traditional services, such as connecting those members to housing or asthma remediation services through community supports. I said a little bit earlier, our no wrong door approach and policy, which really enables Medi-Cal members to more easily access care and receive the mental health services, regardless of where they're seeking care, and allowing providers to be reimbursed for that care, which is also an important component. Also, our contingency management pilot program in 24 of our counties, which started in 2023 under the name Recovery Incentives, that is. So these are just a few of the highlights from 2023. But I also want to, I think it's important that I spend a little bit of time talking about how we're sharing those highlights from these program implementations. So, just recently and starting in January of this year, we published our Enhanced Care Management Community Supports implementation report alongside our new CalAIM dashboard, and which really contributes towards us being more transparent and releasing more timely data on our initiatives to members of the public. And in that data, there's been just significant and tremendous growth in the use of community support services since the launch, which we launched in January 1, 2022. And over the last 18 months, the number of members who've used one or more of those services increased by 14,000 members in quarter one of 2022 to 52,000 members in quarter two of 2023. So a huge jump, and over 140,000 members received the enhanced care management benefit in the first 18 months. And as of January 1, 2024, it also launched for all populations of focus, including those individuals who are transitioning from incarceration. But I also think it's an important component to highlight the investment that we made in enhanced care management community supports infrastructure through the Providing Access and Transforming Health initiative that I talked about earlier, specifically through and I'm going to see if I can get this, capacity and infrastructure transition expansion and development, or CITED, it's a mouthful, yes. Which functions like a grant program for entities such as provider groups, community-based organizations, counties, agencies, hospitals, including public hospitals, tribal partners, and others that are contracted or intending to contract with a managed care plan.
That's great. And I really love you gave some specifics there with numbers, because I'm very curious. And I'm familiar with the grants. My day job, we've been fortunate. Now we can help translate more documents and provide more access to care. So it's really cool, Michael, to hear what we've seen. Let's switch over to Dora. Now, Dora has a little bit of her organization has a little bit of a different role and is often leading boots on the ground through these different counties. And so, Dora, 2023 for you, what are some highlights that you've seen in your organization?
Yeah. So I think in 2023, it was really exciting to really take what Michael was talking about in terms of the vision. And I think the amazing policies that are being implemented in California and actually implement them. You know, so we're the one, we're holding the space, and that's what the collaborative planning and implementation groups are, is really, we call them CPIs or collaboratives, where we're actually holding the space. And I think it's been an exponential learning process in 2023, where people were finally got excited, understood what CalAIM was, realized that there was some real investment here in this, and that there was an opportunity to really take the transformation that Michael was talking about in terms of building a, what I call, I'm a doctor of public health, so I look at this from the view of building community health infrastructure. I mean, that's really what we're doing. And for, you know, it, we can complain a lot about what's happening in healthcare and what's happening in community, but I think this is a great channel for community-based organizations, counties, hospitals, tribal providers to say, we have some resources and policies that are actually supporting making a difference. So I think in 2023, it was communities coming together to really realize the potential, cast a vision and an aim of what could be done. You know, the reality is a lot of people were becoming, a lot of community-based organizations were becoming contracted providers for enhanced care management and community supports. And, you know, that it needs a little bit of level setting and context setting and really understanding and getting engagement. So I think the highlights were just an awakening of what's possible. And, you know, when I share what's happening, what we're seeing moving into 2024, but I'll wait for that, because I think that we often say that in 2022, 2023, we were building the house. You know, there was lots of parts and pieces that needed to be built. Like Michael was talking about the infrastructure. You don't just say, voila, we're going to have a new community-based infrastructure. You need, you know, you need people that are committed, have the passion, have the values. You know, systems change. We, you know, all know the tenets of system change. And I think it was people believing that a mental model and something different could happen. And so I think it was a lot of at least building the blueprints for the bridge, Michael, in 2023, and really understanding what parts were necessary and ensuring that those parts were solid.
Yeah, that's so taking that, and you're now taking that information and applying it to certain counties. Can you remind me which counties, you may not be able to list them all, but maybe regions of the state that you're supporting as part of the HC2?
Yeah, we have 24 counties and we partner with the Institute for Healthcare Improvements. We're really doing this together. And we have counties in Northern California, Central California, you know, as well as what we call the Gold Country, and is in also a lot in Central California. So we have Kern and Tulare, we talked about earlier, and then Southern California, Imperial, Orange County, and San Bernardino and Riverside counties.
Okay, that's great. Now, in those counties in 2023, what are some wins that you've seen? You kind of gave some high level excitement and things that were happening. Are you able to give any specifics of what you consider a win in 2023, Dora?
Yeah, I think, you know, around the state, let me start with Tulare, because I think Tulare, and again, there were some counties that were already whole person care counties. And, you know, so they, in a sense, had a head start with really having some of the, you know, the mental model and the care continuum and really communities working together. But I think the big wins were people coming in a room and, you know, convening together and realizing that, you know, there is this key opportunity to do something different. So in Tulare County, you saw, you know, the homeless management information systems and the, you know, the continuums of care, you know, working with the managed care plans, working with the counties together collectively, not as a your client, their client, but our client or our community or our neighbor, you know, really coming together so that, you know, individuals could be served from a community perspective. Tulare County was one of the first counties where we had a CalAIM coordinator working in the continuum of care, so that it really, you know, crossed a lot of the different sectors. So in a sense, Michael, we broke multiple bridges onto one. You know, we had a lot of different bridges that were doing things perhaps in silos, And, you know, now we're really seeing a melt into a more integrated model so that we can leverage the resources that we have and people can be served, avoiding, you know, another, you know, I think in Tulare really seeing that we're avoiding a lot of duplication of services by really understanding what, you know, whatever everyone's role is. So I think that, you know, just a lot of, you know, coordination, integration across the state. And that's just one example of one county. But I think, you know, I could go on for multiple stories, but I think it's just exciting to see the integration and people really getting served.
That's great. And you mentioned that I kind of, or you hinted at that I kind of knew about Tulare because I've been to your collaborative there and over 100 people, you know, just for CalAid in person, which is one of the largest attendances I've seen. And I've gone to major metros, as I've shared with you, Dora, before. So Tulare County is a good example of how folks are coming together. Let's take some of that momentum and jump into 2024. Michael, I want to shift back to you a little bit. Earlier, you talked about the, I forget the phrase, but there were some changes to health plan coverage in 2024. Can you give a brief overview of why there were changes with Medi-Cal plans in different counties in 2024?
Yeah, definitely. So I would say that, you know, as of January 1, 2024, we implemented new standardized contracts with 22 of our managed care health plans, which now collectively covers 98% of our enrollees. So these new contracts really were there to firm up enforcement of quality measures, especially for some of our more sensitive populations, such as the women and children, and also require health plans to report publicly on the performance of Medi-Cal providers. To give a sense of the scale, approximately 1.2 million members were identified to transition to a new plan in as of January 1, 2024. In addition, Kaiser became the prime plan for approximately 800,000 members. And this means that members who wanted to be seen through Kaiser providers can now enroll directly with Kaiser as their health plan. And this was really a complex process, but more importantly, we wanted to get it right. So the transition took place across 21 different counties and for 21 counties and 14 unique managed care plans. And we also required our plans to submit over 250 operational readiness deliverables to ensure that they had adequate policies around things like quality improvement, utilization management, network adequacy, delegation oversight, monitoring in general, and continuity of care and others to name a few.
That's a big lift. And I know that's a multi-year effort to get ready for that. I believe the proposal, the health plans had to present proposals in 2022, if I recall correctly. And then they were judged and graded and awarded at the end of the year and then prep. So thank you for the background on that. We actually have an episode that's dedicated to that by one of your colleagues. So folks, feel free to check that out on that 2024 change in managed care. Michael, you talked earlier about populations of focus. I think most of our audience may know what that means, but that was a phrase, candidly, that I don't really know what that meant before the CalAid initiative. I know population, I know focus, but putting that together, I didn't really understand that. Can you give the audience just a general overview of what that means when in relation to CalAid?
Sure. So, well, populations of focus, folks might have also heard sometimes target populations, but we utilize the term populations of focus. And specifically for community supports, enhanced care management community supports, but under enhanced care management, we have, as of January 1, two new populations of focus that went live, which were the birth equity population of focus and the individuals transitioning from incarceration population of focus. Noting, though, that some of the former whole person care pilot counties that already went live with this population of focus on January 1, 2022. You know, with respect to community supports, since the launch in January 2022, many of our plans significantly expanded the services that they offered and grew their provider networks and provided services for more members. I think it's just to give a little bit of a sense with when we're talking just more services coming online under these populations of focus. We, you know, from quarter one, as I talked a little bit about some data elements, but from quarter one of calendar 2022 through quarter two of 2023, our plans reported a 270% increase in their members who utilize community supports, an 86% increase in provider contracts to deliver community supports. So it was a tremendous effort and growth opportunity where really we saw this driven by, you know, growth in plan elections and fast growth in certain counties that specifically might have focused on some medically supportive or tailored meals and housing transition navigation services and so forth. So a lot of exciting time. I could go on and on. Use supports is more of is something I've been really excited and passionate about. But I'll pause there and see if you have anything else you wanted me to dig in there.
That's great. And I might invite Dora to jump in on this question too. Coming into 2024, and this is for either of you, how are we unlocking, like, how are these new benefits unlocking some gaps, or what were some of the gaps and how are they being addressed in 2024?
I'll take it from the ground, Michael, and then you can share from, you know, I think one of the things that, you know, when you're, we often say in 2023, we're building the house and now we're living in it in 2024. And I think it's the processes. You know, we're actually creating new processes. So even just referrals, how do you make a referral in this new ecosystem of community-based organizations that may have never, you know, worked with a traditional healthcare system or a county? So I think, you know, really identifying where are those gaps, but that didn't come without, I can't underscore enough that didn't come without resources. So to fill some of those gaps. So that's where the past sighted or the incentive payment programs from the managed care plans to really fill those gaps. And so what we did is we quickly elevated what are the gaps, and highlighted them. And then, you know, really worked to fill them. And DHCS has had an amazing, really process improvement where we're doing rapid cycle iteration. And so the collaboratives have been a source of feedback. I think one of many feedback loops for DHCS, and we're taking the information, you know, on a monthly basis, feeding that up to DHCS, and they have been responsive. Insanely responsive to, you know, really iterating on policies or, you know, processes that need to be fixed. And so, you know, I think that's one of the things that we're seeing in 2024 is just no one's complaining. Well, I don't want to say that, but we're not sitting in the complaints. We're saying, what's the issue and let's fix it. And that's really, I think we've created that cycle of rapid cycle improvement. We 100-day sprints, a lot of things to identify what are those gaps, let's fix them.
Awesome. Michael, anything else?
Yeah, I would agree. And with everything Dora, you know, and echo what she's highlighting, I think we've made great progress in 2023. But I think we're aware that, you know, more work, of course, does remain. And we know that the uptake, at least from the department standpoint, uptake of ECM community supports isn't exactly where we want it to be. And that there's been, you know, we would say that a key barrier that's been identified as some of the challenges is navigating the variation between plan workflows. But, you know, we purposely sought and continue to seek feedback from our stakeholders and plan partners and others. And in 2022, we went on a listening tour and really tried to understand some of the implementation pain points and then worked up what we now have as an action plan that addresses many of these key issues. And, you know, we convened an in-person all-day meeting in June 2023, which was really talking about the Enhanced Care Management Community Supports Action Plan specifically, and talk about the program policy refinements that we have that we should be making underway to increase that utilization of services and streamline certain elements. So there's a lot of work to be done and underway, but we also recognize that Cal-AIM's a long-term commitment to transform Medi-Cal, and we're working to make the Medi-Cal program more equitable, coordinated, and person-centered. Our long-term vision is that it'll be a model of transformation for the healthcare sector, which is an ambitious and worthwhile goal, I think.
Absolutely. So we talked about a lot. We try to keep our episodes, you know, not too long. And I have a lot of prepared questions. I think we touched on all of them, but I wanted to make sure, Dora and Michael, that before we wrap up today's show, is there anything you feel our audience should really know that you haven't touched on in preparation for today's episode?
one of the things that I'd say, I'm with Michael, I'm a lifelong Californian. This is my home. I love California. And I think the world is watching what we're doing, or at least the country's watching what we're doing. And I carry that burden that this is really important, that people are really hurting, that, you know, those populations are focus are our most socially and clinically complex. And, you know, I think, you know, we all need to say, it's easy to say it's not working, but now there's an opportunity to fix it. And I think it's really exciting to step in that gap, to roll up our sleeves and be a part of the solution. And I invite the rest of California to do that, you know, with us, because it's going to take all of us working together to transform our systems.
On that note, Dora, for those that are listening and in California who are either already involved or their organizations involved or they want to be involved, how do people connect with these HC2 or the other collaboratives throughout the state? How do people learn about them or attend?
Yeah. You want me to go? So we have a website that people can log into and register for a collaborative in their, you know, in their specific county or region, so that they can be a part of the collaborative. And I'm sure there's other ways, or reach out to your managed care plans just to learn about what's happening. But there's multiple venues, you know, in your local communities to, you know, really sign in and be a part of the solution.
Absolutely. Michael, anything else on your side that you want to make sure our audience is aware of?
I think, so my last final comments would say, I think we're just really optimistic about the steps we're taking, just not only at the department under CalAIM and the Medi-Cal transformation, but also through some of our more immediate steps under our action plan, that I would really encourage folks and listeners to go to the DHCS website and really explore what that looks like. Especially as it relates to some of this work that we've talked about today. And this really, what listeners will really see and hear is just that we're wanting to get to this point of standardization of enhanced care management community supports, eligibility, our referrals, our authorizations. We want to expand capacity through some of our related and connected programs like PathSighted, like I was talking about, or we were all talking about earlier, and really strengthening overall market awareness of our programs, and just also improving data exchange and improving our capacity to deliver more sort of focused and focused and just concentrated guidance that will really help kind of propel a lot of this work forward, and also just give more clarity where I think that it's been a very siloed and sometimes disconnected system, but we're really making this very focused and momentous effort to kind of create the standardization that I think will be helpful for the many members that are covered under Medi-Cal.
Absolutely. And Michael, you use the word silo, which is you know, one of those buzzwords we hear a lot with CalAIM and how we're trying to overcome that. And I think one thing I have to applaud Michael, your organization, DHCS, and Dora at HC2, if people are claiming they're siloed today, I think they need to realize they don't have to be. There's a lot of effort to come together. So I'd encourage folks who say that or try to lean on that word for their own unawareness, I'd encourage you, don't let that be an excuse, because HC2 and their similar organizations throughout the state are open, these meetings, virtual, in person. Forgive me, guys, I don't have the website handy. Where you can learn about the PATH collaboratives or the CalAIM. I call it like a CalAIM collaborative, but email me. Again, forgive me, I don't have the website handy. Dora, I think you might have it handy.
I do. It's ca-path.com. So ca-path.com. You can sign up for a local collaborative.
Thank you. Apologize, everybody, for not having that handy in preparation or telling Dora that I would need it. So thank you, Dora, for coming up with that for us. So folks, Michael, Dora, really appreciate you guys joining today. And also, again, if you're out there, don't be siloed. If you're in California, there's no more excuses. So DHCS and HC2 are making themselves available. Michael, your organization has been available to me in my day job when I reach out. So I just want to thank you guys again. Dora, Michael, I appreciate you guys. Thanks for joining today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Gavin. Appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of Pop Health Podcast. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode, and if you have and want to check out other episodes, visit us at pophealthpodcast.com, iTunes or Apple Music, Spotify, Stitcher, and now YouTube as well. Take care.